Hello, and welcome to Columboys, a podcast all about the cigar-chomping, intrigue-ridden, impeccably directed world of Lieutenant Columbo. I'm Mac, and sitting across from me is my creative partner, who I promise that I will not murder, Ben. Welcome, Ben.
Hey, thanks, Mac.
Thank
you for not murdering me.
Well, I mean, I promise. I swear. Murders in 2017.
But 2017's almost over.
It probably will be over by the time this goes up.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Watch your ass. Anyway, this week we're taking a look at the second pilot for Columbo. This isn't the second pilot. I'm already out of my pre-written thing.
No.
This week we're taking a look at the very first episode of Columbo, Murder by the Book. This is not the most star-studded episode in front of the camera, but behind the camera is a bevy of individuals in the first steps of a long and influential career. This episode was directed by Steven Spielberg, best known as the executive producer of Transformers The Last Night, as well as being a director on the side. Additionally, this episode was written by Stephen Bochco, who went on to create L.A. Law, NYPD Blue, Doogie Howser, M.D., and Cop Rock, the show about cops who rock in the sense that they sing about jazz songs about evidentiary procedure, which is sort of like rock, I guess. This episode helped launch the careers of these talented men and further cemented the Columbo formula, launching a series that would endure for over 30 years.
My God, I didn't realize he was the Cop Rock guy.
Yes, Cop Rock.
That's fantastic. I'm so excited about that. I mean, I guess the other things that he did are also very good.
Yes.
But, you know, hey, Cop Rock, come on.
That's
Cop
right.
Rock is amazing.
It's something out there. You can, if you're interested, listeners, there are excerpts of Cop Rock.
Excerpts, yeah, on YouTube. The YouTubes.
Yeah, yeah, they're out there.
Yeah.
It's a crazy, terrible show.
When was this episode in Spielberg's
history? This is like maybe the fifth or sixth thing that he directed. He had done a bunch of episodes of other shows.
Okay.
He was like a young, interesting director. He's like just out of film school.
This right. Okay. So this was like 71-ish?
Yeah, yeah. Let me pull up his IMDb real quick. But this is like one of the first like major directorial things that
is 73 Jaws, is that right?
Yeah It was just a couple years after that,
because you pointed it out when we were watching it, but just like the way that it is shot and framed and the way that things are happening while people are having conversations in the same scene who are not, you know, where the camera is fixated on, so that you're kind of getting like information from a couple of different places simultaneously, like, is really neat. And also it really reminded me a lot of Jaws, and it's really neat to see his sort of, you know, technique and style like taking shape
absolutely.
A huge film for him.
So he had directed episodes of Marcus Welby, The Name of the Game, The Psychiatrist, which were other, I think, genre shows of the time, and that's how he came to the attention of the producers of this. But this is before Duel. This is before his work on Night Gallery.
Even before
Jaws was 75.
Oh,
so 75. That's four years away. You know, he was just starting out and had kind of like not built a reputation. And this is certainly one of the things that that put him up there, because this was the start of a very like successful series, and it's a very good episode.
I'm sure it
definitely helped with that.
I gotta say, it's markedly better. I mean, it's so much better than the last one that we watched, but it is markedly better than both of the pilots,
for sure.
Like in a way that just feels like they got the mold.
Yeah, they figured it out.
Like I know that I have seen episodes of the show, you know, like intermittently across growing up and things like that, but like this just toe to tip 100% it feels like Columbo. And that's very exciting. It's very exciting that like right out of the gate, basically, you know, when they went, okay, this is a series now.
It's one of those things where it's like there's kind of an alchemy sort of quality to it, where you have a show that's starting out and you just get like amazing talent that's sort of in the beginning of their career. You know, Stephen Bochco and Spielberg
and
are both have both had these huge careers. Also, the music is by Henry Mancini.
Right, that doesn't hurt.
Who has done amazing work elsewhere? In
everywhere,
everywhere. Yeah, if you can think of a enduring theme before John Williams,
yeah, it was Mancini.
It was Mancini. Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Or Morricone, maybe, but yeah,
yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, no, it's great because it's very well plotted. Just to do a basic breakdown of the episode, it's about a team of mystery writers, and there's one who's more the writer and then one who's more the public face.
Right.
It turns out that the writer is almost exclusively writing the book. The books, they're about to break up as a writing team, and the writer is going to go solo, and I think that other guy is worried that it'll be discovered. He's very like vain and
right.
And so
and has bills to pay and
he
overextended.
He invites him out to a cabin, has him call his wife and say, "Honey, I'm still at the office." And then while he's on the phone,
shoots him,
and so that they think that he was shot in his office and... which the guy trashed,
before they
left to the cabin.
Yeah.
So
So there's kind of this mix of like gaslighting the wife, and then it's this interesting slash really thin stretch where Ken, who is the murderer, tries to set it up to look like, oh, it was a mafia hit because his serious writing was actually about the mob, when it was like no. Wasn't.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad misdirect.
Yeah.
I think one of the interesting parts of this episode is that the guy is very duplicitous, but he's not very smart.
Right.
And I think that they go out of their way to show that. I don't think that in the fiction of the universe he's supposed to be like a genius about this.
They definitely
So he's always doing things that are kind of dumb.
Yeah.
For instance, he comes home back to his place. The right. body is not found at this point.
Right. It's still in his trunk. Which probably smells terrible.
Probably smells real bad. Mm-hmm. And also, couldn't you just test his trunk and see that the dead right. body had been in there for 2 days? A guy who was shot. Like, wouldn't there just be blood? Well, whatever.
Right.
There's no blood. There's no blood.
Where did the plastic go? Where did the blanket go?
There's a lot of questions.
Sure. 70s television, everyone.
70s television. Look, you shoot a body and it just stays perfectly fine
right.
for days.
Again, I'll qualify. This is Columbo, and there's almost never any blood
there's
at
no
all.
There's no blood. Exactly. Everything. It's very clean murders.
Yeah.
But he's coming in. So the first thing he does is he gets his mail and just starts opening the mail idly.
Yeah.
Before he's even gotten the guy out of the trunk.
Right. right.
Before he's even done anything. And then he calls the police. And the first thing when Columbo comes in, he's like, "That's weird. Why'd you open your mail?" And the guy's who knows why someone
probably
does.
Was just a following. Yeah,
this is a
routine.
Very common thing that happens in Columbo, where someone says, "Well, who knows why anyone does anything in a moment of shock?"
Right.
Where they're just like, "I can't explain this thing. So I was shocked.
I was in shock, even though I have been super calm this entire time. Right. I apparently was in shock and hysterics."
Yeah. "Why did you drive back instead of taking a plane?" Is like, "I was in shock." Like, what?
No,
that doesn't. You
no,
were in
you
shock
had him
for
in your
8 hours
yeah,
on the road. Like,
right.
what are you talking about?
Yeah, you had him in your trunk. Well, if it was San Francisco, if it was San Diego, was mm-hmm. it San Diego or San Francisco?
San Diego was where the cabin was.
Right, and then they were in L.A.
LA.
So that's like 2 hours, okay. assuming that your traffic is not garbage.
Yeah, I mean, that actually, you know, I think going to an airport, well, certainly going to an airport now would not be faster.
Correct.
But going to an airport then, maybe.
Well, you consider, I mean, in the earlier episode, well, actually the first pilot,
yeah.
the way that the airport like just did not seem to care.
You just blaze right in
and yeah. like pay cash for a ticket right there. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Columbo said like every half hour they've got flights rolling through.
Yeah.
So
it might have
sorta,
it might
but,
have been faster, but
right.
yeah, it would have.
Yeah, these days it would be like, no, it's
no.
much faster to drive.
Exactly. But, so I think that logically it holds together pretty well. There's, like, some stuff yeah. that's just we don't want to deal with the, like, the body being whatever. Like, there's some stuff
right.
where now I think everyone's has, like, a better sort of, certainly people who are fans of the genre have a better understanding of, like,
yeah.
actual the physical parts. But I, then I think, like,
they have,
there
was
like, enough,
a deeper vocabulary for
I think there was enough mystique
work.
About, like, a murder where you could conceivably murder a person on your couch and then move them from the couch and there would really be no
right.
trace.
Right. There was no like, oh, well, there's like hairs and DNA evidence everywhere.
Yeah. I did like the touch that the couch mm-hmm. where he murders him on, where he makes a
yeah.
call,
has
plastic
already
on top
over
of
it. Yeah.
If you're, let me tell you something. If your writing partner shows up at your office with a gun, the first thing that happens is that he pulls a gun,
right.
but it's
an
empty
gun. Yeah.
And he doesn't have his finger on the trigger. And but if your writing if your writing partner shows up to your office with a gun and then says, "Hey, come out to my cabin," and then makes you like sit on his couch covered in plastic
to call your wife
to lie to her. You're about to get murdered.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you're about to get murdered.
So I guess the secret is when you see the plastic on the couch,
yeah.
you should maybe go to the bathroom and not come back.
If you walk into someone's house who has invited you to a secret rendezvous and there is plastic down, you're getting murdered.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Unless.
Or you're going to have something
unless,
really freaky is going to happen.
Actually, I was going to say unless it smells like someone's grandmother's house, in which case you're probably going to get tea and tiny sandwiches.
Well, okay. Yeah.
That's the one exception.
Fair enough.
Okay, but so yeah, so that's the general plot. I will say that Ken, our murderer, mm-hmm. is very fond of his roll necks.
And he loves
definitely. Like they did a good job of dressing him for vanity.
Yeah.
There's
a 70s version of a rich guy for 100%.
Oh yeah, with, like the pinky ring yeah. and just the like, and he's so well manicured, and then he's got that kind of. He really had that smile down.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah,
this is so that actor is Jack Cassidy. God damn, I should just keep this IMDb page rolling. But Jack Cassidy, I believe, is the actor's name, and he is in multiple episodes of Columbo as a murderer.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
this
he
is
gets
the thing
to come
that
back.
Columbo does bring back murderers.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Now he's a different murderer when
he
comes back.
He's not the
right?
same guy. No. He's a completely different person.
Mac, that
there
I'm
are,
really excited
there
about
are
that.
Returning murderers.
That he, makes me really
he's
happy.
At least one more. He has at least one more that I know of, like off the top of my head. I think Robert Culp is probably the champ for murders. I think he's in like four.
That's a lot of murders. Lot.
He's like not to jump ahead, but Robert Culp probably my favorite Columbo villain of all time because he's just so annoyed by Columbo.
Oh, beautiful.
As,
I mean that's
as Jack Cassidy yeah. I think so far is probably the murderer who has been the most irritated
yes.
by Columbo.
That is the well yeah, and that's the thing that I love about this. This is like one of those things about Columbo that clicked into place in this episode.
Yeah.
Is it's like that's so much of the Columbo formula is like just getting to watch them get agitated by yeah. him pestering them because you know that your payoff is coming when he catches them.
Yeah.
And he's so annoyed. And I love it, especially yeah. because the setup with it is when he first interacts with Columbo is to tell Columbo, "Oh, my sweet summer child,
yeah.
you are in a garden that you have no idea how to navigate."
Yeah, and he's completely condescending. So they're mystery writers. I think that's an important part
yeah.
of the plot. They're mystery writers who have this character, which is a Mrs. Marple type.
Yeah, Mrs. Melville.
Mrs. Melville
is their name
yeah,
for
it's,
her,
it's
but
basic,
it's very
Mrs. Marple.
Yeah.
He comes in and immediately is like, "Oh, well, Mrs. Melville would have had this case wrapped
yeah.
up by now.
Oh,
like,
you're so behind our fictional old lady.
Yeah,
you're just a moron.
Fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Well, how do you dare call yourself a police lieutenant when there are
yeah.
fictional old ladies out solving crimes?
Yeah, Columbo, an old lady could get this done. You're terrible at your job. You should just give up and listen to me, the guy who is clearly not the murderer.
Yes. I know, like this one it's not very secret in this
no,
one. I feel like he shows up with like a blinking lights on him
that
say,
scream,
"Say murder."
I am ready to murder. Yeah.
Yes, he's a He's a very obvious one.
Oh, yeah.
I think maybe there have been less, there will be less obvious ones, but I think he's like very obviously the guy right away.
Yeah.
I think Columbo, the first time he sets eyes on him, he says, this is the murderer.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
But again, and I think that's part of the joy of this is it's like later on, I can see how playing with that works well for the show. But here so early, it's just, it's such a delight to be let into that as the audience.
Yeah.
And then kind of have that off your back. And then it's just you get to try and figure out how is Columbo going to trap him.
Right. Yep. And of course, as the audience, we know all of the things that happened already because we've seen them. It's really right. Because it's POV.
Yeah.
The villain.
Yeah. We get to hang out with the villain most of the time. And then it's rare that we just get to hang out with Columbo.
Yeah. Mostly but, when he's investigating.
Yeah. Also, I just got to stop and say, Ken's shearling coat, oh my god. Yeah, I mean, he really dresses like a 70s rich man, but let's also be clear.
How much of his wardrobe would you personally like to steal?
Okay, well, really, I think that shearling is the piece that I would be after the most, because it is like a beefy, like the
this
full...
is so for people who are maybe not as literate, this is the deer skin
coat,
or the where the it's sheepskin like, coat with
sheepskin coat where it's like it's the basically all the hair is still on you know the skin, so the outer layer is actually like the kind of suede,
looks like a
side.
Leather kind of
and then the inside is where you have all of this warm shearling.
Yeah,
you know, and it's a good look. Tan. It's really,
and he's got his mauve.
Oh
his,
yeah,
his
yeah. He's always wearing
roll
that
neck
roll neck under his under his blazers and everything.
It's
and
a good
like,
look.
And, he does
and then
like
he's got
the,
those button pants. Also, he was still wearing those button pants.
Yeah, that was some weird shit.
He had pants, but on the end of the legs.
Yeah, like right at the where you would have
three
a cuff.
Buttons, like on a suit jacket.
Yeah.
Would have three buttons on
which
the cuff.
Ostensibly were functional, that you would unbutton the bottom, which is also interesting because like there's a point where he takes this jaunty pose where his arms are crossed and he's got one leg up, and it's just illustrating the bell bottom to his jeans. Yeah. But like, you know, this is an era with like flared, you know, bottoms to the trousers. It's like, why do you, what do you need the buttons for to like...
Extra flair.
I guess it's easier to get it around your boot.
Well,
and then,
you take that, you unbutton it, and then you add a supplementary panel for when you want to go for super bell bottoms.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you want like the
extra flair. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
We get one of the fun things in this episode is that we get to see
Columbo's car.
Well, we get to see Columbo's car.
I got excited.
I know you got excited, but we get to see Columbo cook an omelet in real time.
Yeah, which is
it's weird.
It's
no,
very...
it's great though because so when he runs into the murder victim's wife, he wants to sort of comfort her, so he drives her home from the office. He's very distraught.
Yeah,
and he's like. Just decides to make her an omelet.
Yeah.
And then we get to see him make an omelet. Like if you watch it, you pretty much know how to make an omelet.
Yeah. Like he starts the whole process and goes through it. And while we were watching, I went, oh, he has pretty good knife skills.
That's right. Cause he was a cook. Peter Falk was a merchant marine. He was a cook in a merchant marine ship.
Really?
Yep. Before he became an actor.
Wow.
I know. He's a cool guy. He's lived
really...
a life.
Really cool dude.
Yeah. I think he got started, I think he did a lot of stuff, but maybe started acting a little later in life, which is interesting.
Yeah, but he was, he's something.
Yeah. He's a cool guy.
That's really neat.
But this is the first appearance of Columbo's car, which is a Puget. Let me see my notes here. It's a... You vamp. Hold on.
Wait, a Puget? You mean like a Peugeot?
Peugeot, yes. Sorry.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah, because it's this... I love that they chose this car because it's like gray and it's just kind of dusty and old, but it's also tiny and sort of weird to an American audience.
Peugeot 403.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's one of only about 100 cars that were made of this particular car.
No shit.
There are some great moments. And I think the reason why is that it doesn't seem to be a very good car.
Mm.
Like it's weird and it's cool looking.
Yeah.
It has this like...
Well, it stands out because it's so different from kind of the other
vehicles.
It's
very European like look to it. It's boxy. It's a little older.
Yeah.
And you don't get to see a good view of it in total, but it has a very long trunk. Like it has like the passenger compartment is kind of unevenly spaced. It kind of looks like pickup trunk as far as like
from the side. Yeah, I just saw it from the front.
Yeah,
in that
as
one
far
shot.
As like proportion, there's like the hood and then the passenger thing, and then like a an additional like
then just like more space behind it.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a.
It also there are a couple episodes where he's driving it around and he takes a corner and it legitimately looks like it will tip over. Like incredibly narrow. So I think it's very unbalanced.
Yeah, that would scan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially for like small European streets and yeah.
I mean, it's an awkward car for an awkward guy.
Human.
It really fits in very well.
So well done.
Yeah. And it's the same car. The same way that his jacket is the same jacket.
Right.
It's the same car.
Across
I mean,
it
would have to be. There aren't that many of them.
Right. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So one of the other things I really loved, and this is just a little bit in it, is there's a point where Ken Murderer is giving Columbo an explanation at some point, and I forgot to jot down specifically what he was talking about, but mm-hmm. I just Columbo looks at him and just kind of grunts and walks away. And it is like the most beautiful expression of disbelief and shade all rolled into one. And it's just, it's such a choice, wonderful moment.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's just enough to communicate to Ken, I know you're full of shit, but I'm not explicitly.
He does a one more thing. I'm struggling to remember exactly what the moment was. It was right after he gives him the books.
Oh yeah.
But he's asking him, just you know, I spotted this detail. One of the many, many details in Ken's stories that don't quite match up because Ken's not great at murdering.
Yeah.
He just answers the question. He goes, "All right, Columbo. You know, here's the reason." Columbo just goes, just walks, walks out of the room. Like,
yep. It's cool. He just looks at him and goes, And just walks down the hallway and leaves him with
like,
his own thoughts.
Yeah, gives him a little thoughtful, kind of looks away sort of thoughtfully and walks off.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's great. Yeah, I think there's a very good balance of Columbo trying to flatter the guy, trying to play to his ego just enough so that the guy will engage with him. But at the same time, also very clear. I think Columbo is very clearly hostile to him the entire time.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like I think that he is both like buttering him up and poking him constantly.
Yep.
I think that he's not he's not particularly hiding it either.
Yeah. No, yeah. For sure. And like and part of the thing that sort of leads to Columbo piecing together everything is when Ken gets blackmailed by a lady who runs the shop.
Yeah, so but near his cabin, which is where the murder takes place, there's a little general store and a woman who is a big fan of Franklin and Ferris, which is the writing team.
Right. Franklin and Ferris.
Franklin and Ferris. Based on...
The Melville Mysteries.
Yes, based on the writing team who originally created Columbo, Levison and Link.
I
mean,
not based
on them, but inspired by.
But inspired by the fact that it was a writing team that...
Yeah,
oh.
With matching, you know, first letter names, and they created this enduring
mystery. I hope one of them didn't murder the other.
Not as far as I know.
Okay, good.
That is not something that I have been made aware of.
All right, well, good. That makes me feel better.
Yeah, in fact, but there's a note that says that Jack Cassidy would say sometimes before starting a scene, am I playing Levison or Link in this one?
Aw.
So that's kind of cute.
That's adorable.
But yeah, so he's a big... So this woman is a big fan of them.
Right.
And has a crush on him. Because Frank... Like, this is the day when this guy was like a heartthrob. When this kind of like weird mustachioed older man was like the hot shit
the
back
way,
in the 70s.
The way they shoot him, you get that vibe. And like the way they shoot him up close when he turns that smile on. It's like you get that like... People were into him.
Yeah, the 70s, like, dudes were always 40, I feel like, in the set. Like, dudes were always, like, 45-ish.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was.
Yeah, it definitely
TV,
had that.
Like, you were either, like, a young kid or you were 45. And there was nobody in between.
Yeah, that's right.
Basically.
Nobody in their 20s or 30s.
No, they did not exist as far as I know.
Nope.
But like, yeah, so he's the hot shit. And then there's this lady who's super into him. She finds out that
Yeah, he's making a phone call to like establish his alibi.
Right.
And kind of frame his whole plot. And she peeks out a window to see that the other writer is hanging out in the car waiting for him.
Even though he said that he was alone.
Right. And she sees the news and stuff and then blackmails him. And she's got such a crutch on him that he tries to get her drunk and, you know, take her out.
He murders her. Yeah. He smashes her head.
Yeah, but he invites her to basically go, hey, let's continue drinking out on the lake. And she's like, no, that would be really dumb of me because it's not that I don't trust you, but it would be really stupid of me to put myself alone in a situation like that with you.
Yeah.
At which point he just picks up something in her house and smashes her head in.
Yeah.
And then dumps her in the lake.
Yeah.
And it's so sloppy, and that's part of why Columbo is like, see, that first one was good.
Yeah.
But the second murder, I knew that was all you because it was so sloppy and terrible.
Right.
I really love this shade.
The thing that ultimately undoes him, and I think it's kind of the one weakness of this story, is that it's not a clue that we get earlier on.
Mm.
I feel like that the fact that that part is established in the last 10 minutes of the episode, like that.
Right.
So the writer who was murdered writes all of his plots down.
Right. Anytime he has an idea.
Exactly.
He always jots it down
on whatever available. Like, at one point there's a, matchbook that Columbo is using to light his cigar, which is where he first notices it. But this is literally in the last like 5 to 10 minutes of the episode.
They really don't give us this,
which
early.
I think is unfortunate, because I think if they had dropped that a little earlier, that maybe would have, like, and there is a point when the guy is getting murdered where he says, this all seems vaguely familiar.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, meant to lead to this finale, which is that this guy wrote down this murder.
Yeah.
And the idea that Columbo catches him because he thought that this murder was so good that the other guy must have written it.
Right.
Because if this guy, Levison, Ken.
Yeah.
Or not Levison, you know.
Ken Franklin.
Ken Franklin. Yeah. If he was this smart about orchestrating a murder, then
he would have just written his own books.
Yeah,
right, exactly. And I agree with you. I think if we were going to nitpick this, you know, this thing from 1971, the one thing that I would nitpick is if they just given us the hint that Jim wrote every idea he had down just at some point, and it didn't even have to be in his office, then that would just lay the foundation so that later on when Columbo pulled it out, it was like, oh, of course, this was one of his.
Yeah. The ultimate twist being that it actually is Ken's idea.
Right.
And he says, it's the only good idea I ever had. I told it to him. I had no idea that he'd write it down.
Yep.
So the actual thing is that this is the one good murder idea.
The irony is, Ken had one good idea and then
used it for an actual murder.
Yep. Right. And then was...
And then he got caught.
Yeah. Then was spoiled because Jim wrote it down.
Yeah. So it's unfortunate because I think I like the episodes a lot better when they're sort of give you the clues, or there's like a, you know, a fault that you can kind of figure out ahead of time.
Yeah.
And this one doesn't really do that. It kind of springs it on you.
Yeah, it doesn't quite. I mean, it gives you, you know, bits and bobs, but I don't feel like it steers you very clearly towards kind of that last framing.
Yeah.
But even with that, I mean, for me, that's kind of a small quibble. Like it was so enjoyable. It was such a great episode. Like if you were, I'm glad I watched the other two, but I would say if someone was going to jump in and wanted to jump into early Columbo, this is definitely a good place to start.
This is the best start, I think.
Yeah,
you can go back and watch. You should definitely go back and watch
the original movie. Yeah.
Because that is really good.
Yeah.
But it is a very different animal to what Columbo is.
Right.
Ultimately.
Absolutely.
But it is very good on its own.
Yeah.
As its own thing.
Yeah.
Because I'd say that it is not very similar to the rest of the series.
Right. That second pilot is kind of.
It's not great.
Yeah.
It's not great. It's okay.
But, yeah.
But like this really like is. This is like a good example of what like. Hiring a really quality team to work on something, we'll get you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of like amazing two shots in this. Mm-hmm. There's a scene in the first time that Ken and Columbo meet.
Yes.
Where Ken says, "Come over here come over here. I want to tell you something real quick."
Yeah.
Out of the earshot of the wife, the widow at this point. Not,
right.
She doesn't know that,
but yeah.
And Columbo comes over and they get into this two shot where their faces are maybe 3 or 4 inches away from each other.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like they're about to kiss.
It is incredibly intimate. And it's like maybe the in movies and TV, people always talk closer than human beings actually talk to each other.
Sure,
but this is probably the most extreme example of that, where people aren't about to like fight each other or make out.
Right.
Like, but it is incredibly intimate. And I think that there's a lot of like really good two-shot construction.
Yes.
Where Columbo will be in the foreground and they'll just have this conversation. And Ken will be in the background.
Right. Or the other way around, where Ken will be doing something and Columbo is kind of lingering in the background. And like, all of those are really, really nicely framed.
There's a really good long shot where people are having conversations in the foreground that's kind of unrelated to what Columbo is doing.
Yes.
And he's sort of walking in the background.
In the shop. Yeah.
It's very... like it is very noticeably an early Spielberg thing. Like that's a thing that he does in Jaws.
Yes.
Where there are like several sort of narrative threads happening through the scene and you're watching one person that's passing by this other independent thing.
Yeah. You're getting the information from this other scene, but you're not lingering on a scene that fundamentally would just be kind of boring exposition.
Right.
You're getting to watch Columbo investigate and snoop around while that's happening. And so it's a really nice way to sort of keep your attention on all fronts.
I think that one of the great things about this being like the first episode is that since it's the first episode and since it had such a good team to start out, I think that it laid a lot of the foundation for the series. I think that like it pivots on a couple things in very subtle ways as far as like the person's relationship to Columbo, far as like Columbo being the investigator versus like outside sort of interference being the thing which was so big in the previous episode that we watched.
Right, exactly.
The stepdaughter character.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that this like sets it up in such a perfect way to like push it out into the series.
Yeah, absolutely. Like this is clearly what they used as a benchmark of like, well, this is the shape that an episode should take.
Yeah.
And that's very exciting to see.
It's a great episode. And you've got like so many notes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, most of them were about clothing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
fair enough.
That's kind of how, you know, I mean, and sometimes like little lines that really stuck.
Some of that's just
like,
for you personally later.
Yeah, like bills are distracting. Like that line just really stuck for me. So I wanted to write it down. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I wrote down like the trouser cuff buttons and the shearling.
Of course. You're going to hand those to your tailor later.
Well, things that I'm going to have to look up or be like, oh, so what is the modern interpretation of this thing?
Absolutely. Yeah. I enjoy your more sartorial interest in this.
Well, I'm happy I can bring that to the table.
Absolutely.
Oh, before we go, I should point out we do get a little tidbit about Columbo's wife in this episode.
Yes, that's true. So one of the things that we want to do is sort of build out information about Columbo's wife into a dossier.
Yes.
That we want to build the Mrs. Columbo dossier.
Yes.
We don't get a lot in this episode.
No, very little. He just says something about, you know, that his wife likes his omelets, supposedly.
Yes.
And then the other thing is that he comments, actually, when Ken throws shade on him for being out of shape.
Right. Which he says, by the way, he isn't.
He isn't.
He's just
at
wearing
all.
A bad suit.
He's just right. He's looking
Peter
schlubby.
Peter Falk looks like he's in fine shape.
He's in great shape.
Yeah.
It's just that Ken is like taking
Ken's
a dump on
dick.
Him.
Yeah.
Right. And he just says, oh, well, my wife is the athlete.
Yeah.
So Mrs. Columbo
is an athlete of some kind,
right.
Or was an athlete,
or is more of an athlete than Columbo.
Columbo,
I think
maybe it just implies that she likes to swim. It's unclear.
Yeah,
it's unclear.
Could be,
but we're gonna find out more about her
one of these days
as the time goes by.
We'll have a more complete dossier.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's going to do it for this week. Thank you for joining me, Ben. This is a wonderful journey back into the wild world.
Mac,
Columbo.
It is such a joy, and I cannot wait for the next one. I'm so excited for us to get into the next
episode. The next one is directed by Francis Ford Coppola.
Really?
No, it's not.
Oh. I mean...
It's by George Lucas. That could really go either way, actually.
So the next one is like 71, 72, somewhere.
It's all 71.
It's all 71? Okay.
All 71, yeah.
No, 71 Lucas. 71 Lucas could be good.
That could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll find out. Maybe my perspective has changed in 2017.
It wasn't directed by anyone famous as far as I know.
Oh, I see.
I was making a fun joke, but it backfired.
Because I got excited?
You got excited.
Oh.
But, yeah.
I'm sorry I ruined your joke at my expense.
Well... I'm glad that we got to this awkward place at the end of the episode. Yeah. Well, it's been great to... Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to our podcast, Columboys. I'm Mac.
I'm Ben.
Just one more thing, sir.
What?
You gonna eat that omelet?
Columboys is hosted by Mac Johnson and Ben Swallow. You can follow them on Twitter at MacJ and at DandyGeek. The Columboys theme is by Seth Boyer. For more information about this and other great Waffle Media projects, you can go to waffle.media. Thanks for listening.
The dulcet tones. This is how I'm going to record the podcast from now on. Hello.
I don't know what's happening anymore.
All right. Here we go. You ready?
No.
You ready? We're getting into it.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shut up.